Okay, so welcome back to another deep dive with us. And today we're going kind of deep into the desert Southwest. And more specifically, we're going to be talking about Arizona water, which is always a fascinating topic.
Always, yeah.
Particularly today, we're going to be looking at this Arizona Supreme Court case, Robin Silver versus Pueblo del Sol Water Company.
Yeah.
And I guess to set this up, like, what makes this a particularly interesting case for us to look at today?
Well, this case is a really good example of a kind of classic tension point in the Southwest.
Okay.
Which is, development versus environmental protection.
Right.
And of course, at the heart of all of that is water.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it really all comes down to the water when we're talking about this part of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess just to kind of introduce people to the specifics of this case, we're talking about Cochise County, Arizona, and there's a proposed housing development called Tribute.
Right.
And this development, in order for it to go forward, needs to prove that it has a 100-year assured water supply. And then on the flip side of that, you have the San Pedro Riparian National Conservation Area, or SPRNCA.
Right.
And this is a really important conservation area that was set aside to protect a really unique riparian area.
Yeah, absolutely. Critical habitat in southern Arizona.
Yeah. And so, like, I guess the central question that this case kind of revolves around is when the Arizona Department of Water Resources, or ADWR,
right,
is deciding whether or not to issue a 100-year water supply designation to this development, do they have to consider potential federal water rights that have not been quantified yet?
That's exactly right. And that really gets at the heart of how we're going to allocate this scarce resource going forward.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a pretty significant question to ask. And I think the outcome of this case could have some pretty lasting implications.
Absolutely. Yeah. It really gets at the intersection of state and federal authority as well.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So I guess let's start by sort of setting the stage here. And introducing the players. So on the environmental side, you have Robin Silver, who is the named plaintiff in this case.
Right.
And also some organizations like the Center for Biological Diversity.
Right. Well-known environmental groups in the Southwest.
Yeah. And then on the other side, you have the Pueblo del Sol Water Company, which is actually owned by a larger company called Castle and Cook.
Right.
So we have sort of the classic, environmental groups versus developers.
Yeah, classic setup. Yeah.
I guess another thing that we should mention is that this development is proposed in Cochise County, which is outside of an active management area or an AMA.
That's a very significant detail.
Yeah. Why is that significant?
Well, AMAs have a much more kind of rigorous regulatory framework when it comes to groundwater.
Okay.
So being outside of an AMA, the regulations are a little bit less stringent.
Gotcha. So this is an area where, groundwater pumping is not as heavily regulated.
Exactly.
Okay. So Pueblo del Sol, in order to move forward with this development, they need to get what's called an adequate water supply designation, or an AWSD from ADWR.
And so this kind of leads us to this question of, like, okay, what exactly does Arizona law require in terms of proving a 100-year water supply?
Right. So the relevant statute here is Arizona Revised Statute, Section 45108.
Okay.
And that statute requires developers to show that they have a 100-year water supply that is legally, physically, and continuously available.
Right. So it's not just, any old water. It has to meet all three of those criteria.
That's right. It has to be legally available, meaning that they have the legal right to use it.
Right.
It has to be physically available, meaning that the water is actually there and they can access it.
Right.
And it has to be continuously available for 100 years.
So this is like a pretty stringent standard in a way.
It is, yeah, especially in an arid environment like Arizona.
Right, yeah. That's why this case is so interesting, is because water is so scarce here that it's really important to make sure that there's enough to go around for everyone. So you mentioned that the water has to be legally available, and I guess this is where the federal government comes in. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about the Bureau of Land Management, or the BLM.
Right.
And their federal reserved water rights for the SPRNCA.
Right.
Can you just sort of briefly explain, like, what that means? Like, what are federal reserved water rights?
So the idea of federal reserved water rights is that when the federal government sets aside land for a particular purpose,
okay,
they also implicitly reserve the water rights necessary to fulfill that purpose.
Okay. So in this case, like, the SPRNCA was set aside to protect riparian habitat.
Right.
And so the federal government also reserved water rights for that purpose.
Exactly. So that the habitat would have the water it needs to thrive.
Right. Okay. And I guess the really interesting thing about this is that those federal water rights haven't actually been quantified yet.
That's right. They haven't gone through a formal adjudication process.
Okay, so we know they exist, but we don't know exactly how much water they represent. So when ADWR was evaluating Pueblo del Sol's application for an AWSD, they had to decide, okay, do these unquantified federal water rights prevent this development from having a legally available water supply?
Right.
And I guess what was ADWR's decision?
So ADWR ultimately approved Pueblo del Sol's application.
Yeah.
And said that they did have a legally available water supply.
And so, obviously, this decision was challenged by the environmental groups.
Yeah, that's right. Robin Silver and the Center for Biological Diversity appealed that decision.
Okay, and what was their argument? Why were they challenging that decision?
Well, their argument was that ADWR had failed to consider the potential impact of these federal reserved water rights.
Right.
On the availability of water for the development.
So their argument was that even though those rights hadn't been quantified, they still had to be considered.
Exactly. They were saying, look, you can't just ignore these rights because they haven't been fully defined yet.
Right.
You have to take them into account somehow.
Okay. So I guess that kind of sets us up for this legal battle. So what happened? I mean, it started in the Superior Court.
Right.
What happened there?
So in the Superior Court, the judge actually ruled in favor of the environmental groups.
Okay.
And said that ADWR should have considered these Federal Reserve water rights.
Okay, so round one went to the environmentalists.
So round one went to the environmentalists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it went to the Court of Appeals, right?
That's right. Pueblo del Sol appealed the decision.
And what happened at the Court of Appeals?
So the Court of Appeals got a little bit more nuanced.
Okay.
They said that ADWR didn't necessarily have to consider unquantified federal rights when they were looking at the legal availability of the water.
Okay.
But that they might have to consider them when they were looking at the physical availability.
Oh, so they're kind of splitting the baby a little bit?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, okay, maybe you don't have to consider it in terms of, like, legality.
Right.
But you might have to consider it in terms of, like, the actual physical water that's there. Okay. And then, obviously, that wasn't the end of it, because then it went to the Arizona Supreme Court.
That's right. It went all the way up.
So can you walk us through, like, what the Arizona Supreme Court said and, like, how they kind of justified their reasoning?
Sure. So the Arizona Supreme Court ultimately reversed the Court of Appeals.
Okay.
And sided with ADWR and Pueblo del Sol.
Okay.
And their reasoning really hinged on a couple of key points.
Okay.
First, they looked at the plain language of the statute.
Okay.
And they said, you know, the statute doesn't explicitly require ADWR to consider unquantified federal rights.
Okay. So they were kind of taking a very literal interpretation of the law.
Very literal. Yeah.
Okay.
They also looked at this idea of legal availability.
Okay.
And they said that, you know, ADWR's interpretation of legal availability,
right,
which basically focuses on whether the developer has the permits to use the water.
Right.
That interpretation was reasonable.
Okay.
And that the legislature had implicitly endorsed that interpretation by not changing it when they amended the statute in 2007.
Interesting. So it's like they're saying that because the legislature didn't explicitly say that ADWR had to consider these federal rights.
Right.
They must have been okay with ADWR's existing interpretation.
Exactly.
Okay. And then what about physical availability? Like, did the Supreme Court say anything about that?
Yeah. So on the issue of physical availability, the court basically deferred to ADWR's expertise.
Okay.
They said that, you know, ADWR has the technical expertise to evaluate these hydrological models.
Right.
And to determine whether there's enough water to meet the development's needs.
Okay.
And they didn't require ADWR to speculate about the potential impact of these unquantified federal rights.
Okay. So it's like they're saying, we're not going to make ADWR guess
right
about what might happen with these federal rights in the future.
Exactly.
You know, we're just going to let them do their job and evaluate the water supply based on the best available information.
That's right.
Okay. So as you mentioned, this case, you know, didn't end. There were also some dissenting opinions.
Right. There were three justices who dissented.
So what were the main arguments that the dissenting justices raised?
So the dissenting justices were really concerned about the potential impact of this decision on consumers.
Okay.
They said that, you know, if these Federal Reserve water rights are later quantified and they turn out to be significant,
right,
it could leave homeowners in this development without enough water.
Yeah, right. Because they've been promised a 100-year water supply.
Right. But that supply could be undermined by these federal rights.
Yeah. So it's sort of like a false promise in a way.
Yeah, that was their concern.
Okay. So I guess one of the justices, I think it was Justice Bullock, also argued that the majority's interpretation of legal availability basically rendered that part of the statute meaningless.
Yeah, he was saying that if all you need to show is that you have a permit,
right,
and you don't have to consider any other potential legal claims,
right,
then the legal availability requirement doesn't really do anything.
Yeah, it's kind of like a rubber stamp at that point. And then I think Justice Polinder also had an interesting point where he agreed with the majority on the physical availability issue.
Right.
But he dissented on the legal analysis.
Yeah, so he thought that ADWR should have considered those Federal Reserved water rights when looking at the legal availability of the water.
Interesting. So he kind of split the difference there.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Okay. So, you know, obviously this case has some pretty big implications for Arizona water law.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, how do you see this decision, like, impacting the balance between development interests and environmental protection in the state?
Well, I think this decision definitely signals that the court is willing to defer to the expertise of agencies like ADWR.
Okay.
And to give them some leeway in how they make these decisions about water availability.
Okay.
And I think that's probably good news for developers.
Okay.
But it's potentially bad news for environmental groups.
Right, because it suggests that the court is maybe not as concerned about the potential impact of development on the environment.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it.
Okay. I guess another thing that we should talk about is this idea of Arizona's bifurcated water management system.
Right.
So can you just briefly explain, like, what that means and how it kind of played into this case?
Sure. So in Arizona, you have this kind of two-track system for managing water.
Okay.
On the one hand, you have the courts, which are responsible for adjudicating water rights.
Right. So they're the ones who decide who has the right to use water.
Exactly. And how much water they can use.
Okay.
And then on the other hand, you have agencies like ADWR.
Right.
Which are responsible for managing the state's water resources.
Okay.
And for ensuring that there's enough water to meet the needs of the state's growing population.
Right. So ADWR is kind of more focused on the practical day-to-day management of water.
Right.
Whereas the courts are more focused on the legal framework.
Exactly.
And so how did that kind of two-track system play into this case?
Well, I think the court in this case was very cognizant of that separation of powers.
Okay.
They didn't want to step on the toes of the courts, which are the ones that are ultimately responsible for adjudicating water rights.
Okay.
And so they said that, you know, ADWR doesn't have to try to predict the outcome of those court cases.
Right.
When they're making their decisions about water availability.
Okay. So it's like they're saying ADWR should just focus on what they're good at.
Right.
And leave the legal stuff to the courts.
Exactly.
Okay. So I guess for someone who's listening to this and they're like, why should I care about this case? Like, why is this important?
Well, I think this case is important for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
First of all, it really highlights the challenges of managing water in an arid environment like Arizona.
Right.
You know, water is scarce here. And so we have to be very careful about how we allocate it.
Yeah.
And this case shows how difficult that can be.
Right.
Second of all, I think this case highlights the tension between development interests and environmental protection.
Right. And how that tension is only going to increase as the state's population continues to grow.
Yeah.
And then finally, I think this case shows how the law can be used to either promote or hinder sustainable water management.
Hmm.
Right. So it's really important to be aware of these legal issues and how they can impact our water resources.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I guess to kind of sum up, the Arizona Supreme Court in Robin Silver basically said that ADWR doesn't have to consider unquantified federal reserved water rights when it's making a decision about whether or not to issue an AWSD.
That's right.
And they kind of justified that decision by saying, you know, we're going to defer to ADWR's expertise.
Right.
We're going to respect the separation of powers between the courts and the agencies.
Right.
And we're going to stick to the plain language of the statute.
Right. Very textualist approach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's fair to say that this decision was a win for developers.
I think that's a fair assessment.
But it remains to be seen what the long-term implications of this decision will be for Arizona's water future.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, especially as the Gila River adjudication continues.
Right. And I guess that kind of brings us to the final thought that I wanted to leave people with, which is, you know, given this decision and given the ongoing Gila River adjudication, like, what are some of the potential challenges and conflicts that you see arising in the future when it comes to managing Arizona's water?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges is going to be figuring out how to balance the needs of a growing population with the need to protect the environment.
Right.
And I think that's going to require some really tough decisions.
Yeah.
You know, are we going to prioritize development or are we going to prioritize conservation?
Right.
Are we going to be willing to make sacrifices in order to ensure that there's enough water for everyone in the future?
Yeah, it's a really tough question.
It is, yeah. And I don't think there are any easy answers.
Right, but I think it's a question that we need to start thinking about seriously.
Absolutely. The sooner the better.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for diving deep with us today.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
And we'll see you next time.
See you later.